Tales of Enchantment from Spain. The Woodcutter's Son and the Two Turtles. Long ago there lived in Spain a poor woodcutter who had an only son named Antonio. Every day the father and son went into the forest to cut wood. One day the apothecary passed by the humble hut which was their home and noticed the odor of quinine from the smoke of their evening fire. He stopped to make inquiries. "Where did you get that wood which you are burning?" he asked. "We get it in the forest every day when we follow our work as woodcutters," replied the father of Antonio. "Very well," said the apothecary. "Bring me all the wood like that which you can find. I will pay you twice what you are accustomed to receive." There came prosperous days for Antonio and his father. They had never known such comforts in life as they were able to purchase with their increased income. On feast days, Antonio was clothed like the son of a rich man. One day in the forest, Antonio's father felled a tree. As he began cutting into it, a voice called out, "Stop pulling my hair!" Antonio's father fell to the ground in amazement. "I beg your pardon," said he. "I did not know that I was pulling anyone's hair." "I'll pardon you on one condition," said the strange voice. "Call that son of yours hither and give him to me. I want to keep him with me as my own." "Oh, I could not give you my Antonio," said the poor woodcutter as the tears rolled down his cheeks. "He is my only son. I could never live without him." "I'll allow him to come back to you to make a visit once a year. Hurry up and call him hither. I haven't very much patience. I'm getting crosser and crosser every minute." Indeed, the voice was so angry that the woodcutter did not dare do otherwise than call his son. "Antonio! Antonio!" he shouted. The boy came running up at once. "What is the matter, dear father?" he asked as he saw his father standing there with the tears running down his face. "Have you cut your foot?" The woodcutter did not answer, for the strange voice addressed Antonio. "My lad, your father just now insulted me by pulling my hair. He has promised to make amends for it by giving you to me. You are to live with me for a year, but at the end of that time, you may go home to visit your family. Never fear, you will have plenty to eat and drink and plenty to wear." Antonio rubbed his eyes. Then he suddenly saw an enormous man standing before him, who beckoned him to follow where he led. Antonio followed him into a great hollow tree, and through that to a cave. At the end of the cave there was a door which led to a magnificent palace, grander even than the palace of the king, which Antonio had once had the good fortune to see. Within the palace was a beautiful inner court, adorned with rare plants and a fountain. There was food such as the boy had never tasted, and in the alcove a richly canopied bed. The boy ate and drank to his heart's content, and then he went to bed. Days passed in the palace, but Antonio saw no one except the enormous man who had conducted him there. At nights, however, he was often awakened by sounds in the palace. There were music and dancing and feasting after he had gone to bed, and the lights in the palace were all extinguished. The year passed by very slowly, it seemed to Antonio. The days had flown much faster when he had helped his father cut the wood of the forest. At last, however, the time was up, and he could go to visit his family. The man sent him away with his pocket full of gold. "Be sure that you return at the end of a week," said the man. "And be sure that you do not mention to any of your family a single word about what happens here. If you do, there will be a fearful punishment." Antonio quickly ran through the cave and out of the hollow tree trunk. How good the forest looked once more! The odor of it was perfumed to his nostrils. The forest birds had never before sung such sweet songs to his ears. He hastened home and was greeted with great joy by his family, who were awaiting his coming eagerly. There were many questions asked Antonio about his new life. He remembered the command of the man and was careful to tell nothing except the fact that he had plenty to eat and drink and wear and that he was happy there. One day, however, he was left alone with his aged grandmother for an hour, and the old woman questioned him so adroitly that she soon had drawn from him the story of the sound of music and dancing and feasting which he heard at night in the palace after the lights were all extinguished. "You must find out about these things so that you can tell me all about them next year when you come to visit us," said the grandmother. "Take a candle with you and some matches when you return. Then the next time when you hear the sounds in the palace, light your candle and see what is going on." At the end of the week, Antonio went back to the forest and threw the hollow tree trunk into the cave. He knocked at the door at the end of the cave. The man opened it at once. "I am glad that you returned promptly," said the man when he saw Antonio standing before him. "Did you obey my other command and tell your family nothing about what goes on in the palace?" "I never said a single word about it," said Antonio boldly. He did not dare tell the man what he had confided to his grandmother. It seemed to him that the man's sharp eyes were upon the pocket where he carried the candle and matches which his grandmother had given him. "If you mentioned anything to anyone, you should tell me at once. I might be able to help you now, but soon it will be too late," said the man as he eyed Antonio suspiciously. That night Antonio went to bed in the richly canopied bed with the candle and matches under his pillow. He slept soundly for a time, but at last he awoke, conscious that there were sounds all about him in the palace. He cautiously lighted the candle which his grandmother had given him, and the sounds suddenly ceased. He went from one room to another in the palace, but the light of the candle revealed no one. Then, in one of the alcoves, he saw that the bed was occupied. The most beautiful maiden he had ever seen lay upon the bed fast asleep. Antonio quietly crept up to her side. As he leaned over the bed to look more closely at her lovely face, a drop of wax ran down the candle. It fell upon the face of the sleeping girl. Suddenly, the sleeping maiden, the magnificent palace, and everything else disappeared. Antonio found himself standing alone in the midst of the forest with a lighted candle in his hand. A shrill cry echoed through the silent forest. Then a deep voice said, "Woe, woe, woe!" The little candle soon burned out itself, and Antonio could not find his way out of the forest in the darkness. He crawled into the hollow tree and made himself as comfortable as possible for the remainder of the night. Towards morning, Antonio heard two turtles talking together outside the hollow tree. One turtle said to the other, "Do you remember the enchanted palace which opened from the door at the end of the cave beyond this hollow tree?" "Indeed, I do," said the turtle. "Great feasts are held there in the darkness of the midnight hour." "Did you know that the enchanted palace has been destroyed?"
"Destroyed? What happened?"
"The daughter of the king was sleeping there, and wax from a lighted candle fell upon her cheek. Her beauty is ruined forever."
"A lighted candle, did you say? Who had a lighted candle in that place of darkness?"
"It was the woodcutter's son who lives in the enchanted palace who did the evil deed. He has lost a beautiful bride. At the end of 3 years, he was to marry the king's daughter."
"Isn't there any cure for the burns on the face of the princess?"
"If you and I were killed and cooked over the fire, and our shells ground into powder in a mortar, a paste could be made with which to heal the burns and restore the beauty of the princess. Otherwise, the princess will remain a prisoner in the royal castle and never go out except at night, and then under a heavy veil to hide her disfigured face." Antonio waited to hear no more. He quickly killed the turtles and took them home as soon as it was daylight to cook over his mother's fire. He ground their shells into powder in his mother's mortar and made a paste. Then he went to the royal palace, dressed in a suit of clothes and a wig
which he had borrowed from his old friend, the apothecary. "I have come to heal the burns upon the face of the beautiful princess. I will restore her beauty," said Antonio to the attendants. Already the royal physicians had tried all sorts of salves and remedies of every kind. What they did made the princess look worse and worse. When Antonio was admitted to her presence, she refused to try any other remedies. "It's no use," she said, as she hid her face. Antonio requested the attendants to withdraw from the room. He whispered into the ear of the princess who he was. He then put the paste upon the burns, and immediately they were healed. The beautiful princess was as lovely as when he had bent over her sleeping form with the lighted candle in his hand. "I will marry no one except the apothecary who has healed my burns," said the princess, when she stood before her father, the king, radiant in her restored beauty. The woodcutter's son wedded the royal princess. He became the friend and protector of the turtles of the kingdom. Never again was anyone allowed to kill turtles in that land.